I have no idea if anybody can hear me out there. This is John Johnson at Radio Edge Talk. I'm at the Scottish Learning Festival today for the second day. I've had some fantastic conversations, none of which I've either recorded or broadcasted. But we're talking to our old friend Pam Curry, at Pam Curry, on the Twitters, who the last time we talked, we were talking, Pam, about Perth and Kinross and your work on their website. And I found you today in what I thought was quite a strange place, RyderCupEducation.com. Can you give us a wee elevator pitch on what that is?
We were given, obviously the Ryder Cup 2014 is coming to Scotland, it's coming to Glen Eagles in September next year. So Scottish Government obviously pushing the whole notion of the Ryder Cup. It's a big deal for Scotland. And we were given some money, Perth and Kinross were given some money by Education Scotland to develop a resource for, an education resource for the Ryder Cup. For the legacy of the Ryder Cup, I suppose. So I got involved in that kind of early on, and being a bit of a geek and being a bit of a techie head, I wanted that very much to be an online resource. So we've ended up with a virtual golf course. We've got 18 holes of learner content. Each hole has a different learner theme, a different learning theme. So for example, we've got ceremonies at hole 6, we've got hole 10 is playing golf, we've got event management, hospitality, tourism, and there are a whole bunch of videos, some interviews with some great people. Actually, we've got the Ryder Cup captains, we've got Alex Salmon talking about it, people that are involved in putting the events together, and we've got a bunch of kids to go out and work with, interview these people. So we've got kind of starter videos, we've got then learner activities so that a learner could just go to the site and take part in some activities without any teacher input. And at the bottom of each hole, at the bottom of each page, we've got a teacher section with teachers' planners and, you know, tagged to CFE and overview documents, etc. So, yeah, it's a pretty extensive piece of work, all in all.
There's kind of two bits, Pam, that really interest me about this. One is, I'm hoping you can just give us a brief, sort of slightly deeper look at one of the activities, any one from the 18, I'm guessing, 18 holes in the golf course. The other is the way that you briefly mentioned that it was pupils that did the interviews, and I think maybe that's selling the whole thing a wee bit short. You could maybe spin that out a wee bit.
Sure. So I had always had this idea to kind of get pupils more involved in developing digital resources for schools. I don't think schools have got the time or perhaps even the expertise to do that on their own. So I had this kind of big notion of, you know, filming all the science experiments in a secondary and putting them online, or filming all the kind of, you know, music practical assignments and having them online. And so I came up with this kind of idea we called Digital Ninjas, where we tapped into these, you know, pupil expertise. But I worked with the community school of Ochterarder to do this, and I did a kind of pitch to assemblies in the school and just sold the idea of digital ninjas. And, you know, if you're the person in your house that knows how to work the Sky remote when your parents don't, then you're who we want involved in this. So we got 190 volunteers, which was far too many, but we managed to kind of whittle it down to a smaller group, and it's been a fantastic experience. These guys really do have digital know-how. Do you know what's a great example, actually? I had a bunch of them, they're third year secondary pupils, and I had brought from the resource cupboard store in Perth a Mac Pro, and it had just been lying gathering dust in this cupboard, so I thought that would be great for editing these videos. So I brought it down to the school, and it was locked. I didn't have any admin password, there was no passwords there, it was totally locked. And these digital ninjas, a wee boy in third year, said, "I'll fix that for you now." And he went onto YouTube, found a wee bit of code that could hack the Mac, and within about 10 minutes I had a new user account created in the name of Pam Curry, and we were in the Mac. So I thought, yes, I've got the right people here. But it was brilliant. They went out, they did the interviews. By, you know, after the first couple, they were more professional than, you know, Jackie Bird. And
it was actually the children who were doing the filming.
Yep, they did everything.
We can see from the television, the screen's up here.
Yeah.
The interviewing of Alex Salmon and all the rest of it, but they were also doing the editing as well?
Yeah, well, that was the hope. It ended up being the case that I had to edit most of them. Something. But to be honest, it was the summer holiday timing that was the biggest problem there. We had to get the filming done in June, before the summer holidays, so we did all the filming in June, and but it then had to be released, it had to be launched yesterday, so do you know what I mean, the timing was just awkward, so I had to spend most of July and August editing videos, but you know, there's about 70 of them in the end, so there's quite a few to edit.
Right, okay. So maybe you would need some ninja help for that. That would be pretty good. Could we kind of, I know I'm taking quite a lot of your time up here, Pam, could we maybe just choose one poll and give us a few examples, even if you want to fire it up onto the screen so that we can see it, even though the listeners at home don't. So on the website we can see a golf course, a map of a golf course, and then we've clicked on hole one.
So hole one, the learning theme for hole one is dressed to play, and this focuses on the whole notion of clothing and fabrics for golf. So we were given access to the company who designed the Ryder Cup uniforms. So the Ryder Cup uniforms are a big deal. Don't know if you're aware of this, John, or if you're golf.
Not a golf. I have to ask my mum.
There is quite a bit of kind of media furore over the whole Ryder Cup uniforms and what they're going to be wearing, and they've had some howlers in the past. There have been pink jackets and right. You know, unusual tartans, and they wear a different outfit every single day of the competition. So the competition lasts for maybe 5 days, and there's a full kit list for the European and the American teams, and they have to wear, you know, certain outfits, and they're given a whole book that tells them what to wear on each day and when to wear it and all the rest of it. So we got to go and interview the marketing people who developed the uniforms. So there's video content from Glenn Muir, and we've got a kind of a montage of the Glen Eagles hospitality staff. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the emphasis for younger learners is on what people wear to work. So there's, you know, it's not just about golf, this, is it? It taps into, you know, the learning themes are a wee bit broader than just golf itself. So, you know, there's a film montage of everyone from the doorman in his kilt at Glen Eagles to the golf pros at the PGA course who wear, obviously, golf-specific clothing. And, all of the learning activities focus on being dressed to play golf and what you might want to wear. So, if I scroll down the page, let's have a look at some of the secondary, the kind of older, we're calling it secondary, I suppose it's older, more difficult, the most difficult resources is talking about looking at previous outfits, and you know, imagine if you were putting together an outfit to play golf, what would be your dream outfit, what would you wear? But it gets some of the deeper learning in the teacher's area, goes into stuff like the fabrics that are involved, and you know, these climate, I don't know what they're even called actually, I'm not really an expert, but the ones that are flexible and comfortable and moisture resistant or whatever, and it goes into the kind of science of that. Yeah. So it's everything, just, you know, from a very basic early level, you know, right into some pretty deep scientific stuff at times. So,
down at the bottom here, we've got resources for teachers.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't want, I don't know, I just kind of struck me that a lot of resources for learning and teaching often focus on the teacher rather than the learner, and learners need a place to go and things to do as well. So we got some help in putting this together actually from Brian Clark in the end. You know, Brian used to work for the Consolarium. So Brian, I needed help to just finish the job. There was so much to do in the end. Brian gave me a wee help, and it was Brian who said, let's hide the teacher's area.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a great idea. Just keep it hidden, put it at the bottom and hide it behind this green bar, so the teacher's area is completely hidden.
But although it's hidden, quite often I think in an online environment, you separate your teacher's instructions from the children's area.
Yeah.
So that means as a teacher, what I actually want to do is look at what the children do first. And then I'll see if I like it. I'll say, oh, right, I'll see how this can tie up.
Yeah.
That's maybe not a complete professional way, but it's a good working method, I think. But the fact that I don't have to then dig out to another site is quite a great idea, I think.
That's right.
On this site, I've got my notes.
Everything together. And the teacher stuff goes into a lot more detail than the learner activities are just for pupils to learners to undertake on their own with no teacher input. Whereas the teacher stuff is, you know, there's Word documents there that are tagged to CFE, there's suggested success criteria, you know, deeper learning activities and how learners might, you know, demonstrate their learning. So, yeah, a much more detailed kind of you know, copy and paste into your forward plan kind of stuff there. But I think that obviously we're kind of competing against the Commonwealth Games next year. But I think what I'd like to say about the resources that it's not. I don't know if it needs to be dealt with in a separate way. I mean, for example, Hall 6 focuses on ceremonies. And a lot of the learning is to do with opening ceremonies and what efforts put into the dance and the rehearsal and the, you know, the kind of formulaic nature of it. So that lends itself very well to the Commonwealth Games as well.
So if I was doing a topic in the Commonwealth Games, I can nip out and use the resources in the Ryder Cup. And we could even just answer the questions as if it were the questions about the Olympics. But you've got the background videos and things. It just looks like an incredible amount of work. I mean, 70 videos... we're kind of amazed at the amount of work you've done here, Pam. It, just from first glances, it looks really sweet. The design is nice, it's simple, it seems to be pretty responsive. I'm presuming it'll look nice on a tablet and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
a great piece of work. And the URL at the moment is...
It's on RyderCupEducation.com. So it does work from that URL.
Right.
We're moving it on to different hosting. Education of Scotland are going to host it for us. But yeah, it works at RyderCupEducation.com.
Right, because that's what people want to know. And I think even if I didn't play golf, and I don't, and I had some kids... There's some great activities that will fit in from all sorts of things in here. So, thank you very much, Pam. It's nice to hear you on the tubes again. And this will be, hopefully, if the technology works, I'll put the archive up on EduTalk pretty soon. Brilliant. Cheers, folks.
Pleasure.
I wonder if that worked.
Hopefully.
Let's switch back to voice record and go.